Informative. Educational. Objective. Inclusive. Comprehensive. This is Progress Report. Updates and conversations from the Government Information Service.
Day again, and welcome to Progress Report, updates and conversations from the Government Information Service. My co-host Gleneva, the one in charge. Believe it or not, she's the one in charge of everything here. She keeps me grounded. She's like, Ivan, you know, people are talking about this. We need to find an answer for this. We need to hear about this. So it ain't all me, guys. This is what partnership looks like. We have with us today the Comptroller of Inland Revenue. Yeah. Mr. Hobson, how are you?
Fine, thanks. Good what you guys are doing with the progress report. Thanks for having me as well. We always welcome to get the word out there on IRD and what's happening. So, again, okay. Thanks for having me.
Welcome.
Yeah, it's our pleasure, actually, and we like to get straight into things.
True.
I'm under strict manners here.
Right,
have
you know,
to keep it to...
we have promised that we will try and keep these shows to 20 minutes. But today, I think it's very important as we're going to be looking at GST. Mm-hmm. It is such a pressing matter that we have allotted an extra 5 minutes for today. So bear with us. We're going to try and get this conversation in, done, 25 minutes.
Yes.
And we can just jump right in and get started.
Yes,
all right.
So, right now we're looking at GST and a lot of persons, business persons, we're going to look at it from a business person perspective first. Mm-hmm. A lot of persons are asking, what is the process? If I own a business, what is the process for my business to be GST registered?
Okay. So, we encourage persons to visit the IRD, come out and speak with our taxpayer services staff, and they will guide you through and filling out the form. So the form I'm speaking to, there's a completion of an application form, which is the first step. There are forms F2. F2 is pretty much for a sole trader. So if you're just doing business as a sole trader on your own, right. And then we have a F3 form. That one is for companies and firms and partnerships. That's the one that they will complete. Okay. Once that is approved, we will issue a GST certificate. Now, this certificate is very important because that certificate must be displayed within the business in a prominent place as you walk in, that you're able to know that this business is required to administer GST.
Similarly, like the business licenses.
Correct. Because, again, we don't want businesses telling you, oh, government has GST in place, and they're not registered to charge it, but they are charging it to you. And what's happening if they're not registered? They're keeping that GST for themselves, okay. Right? So we want consumers to know when they walk in, look out, look for that sign, that certificate in the store to know that this business where you are is registered for GST.
Just a quick thought. Is there any thought to having it displayed at the register too?
Well, that's up for the business, but normally it would be in that area. So when you kind of go up to wherever the cashier checkout area is, it should be somewhere on a wall, maybe in that area. We could have smaller laminated copies of it as well, so that maybe they could have it displayed there at the register too, so the business could have it there. But definitely they will get an official certificate from us that must be in their business displayed properly. So again, we encourage businesses who have not registered, do come in, speak with a member of the taxpayer services, so we could go ahead and get you all registered.
Right, and on that, is there a deadline for the registration of companies and businesses to come in and register for GST?
Yes. Actually, the GST registration date is closing off on the 30th of April. So that's the final date to register. However, we realize this is a new tax. We understand that, you know, persons need a little bit more time. So I'm lenient enough to go ahead and extend that time, and I'll have that time extended up until the 15th of May to allow persons to, you know, get it all together. So we are also coming out. We'll be visiting businesses who we realize have not registered, just to understand what's going on in case they need some help with the forms and walking them through it and getting them properly registered. And again, we encourage you to please come out, see us and let's get registered and get this GST certificate in your business, so that way when July 1st come, you're ready to administer the GST.
Okay. If I can quick just a point here, just so folks would know, because I think what I'm gathering from what you're saying is that you know who should be registered, and this is based on the threshold.
That's correct. Okay. So that threshold, and speaking of the threshold, that's 300,000 EC dollars.
Okay.
So yes, we already have a list of all the persons and businesses that should be registered.
Okay.
Thus far, persons have been coming in and registering. But when we realize that we're not hitting or close to that goal, actually it's about 600 registrants.
Okay.
So we have to meet that number. So the further away we are from that, then the more, you know, we'll be out and trying to reach that number to make sure we get them registered in time. Because there's a lot of stuff in place to get.
Any plan to publish like an entire list?
Right.
Yes. So once registration is completed, yeah, so by July 1st, we will have a list published.
Okay.
That list will be prominently found on the Inland Revenue. So that's ird.gov.ai website. Persons could go there and they'll be able to find a list of all businesses that are registered. So they'll be the ones that actually are registered, and we have issued them a certificate.
Uh-huh.
And as we are updating that list, you know, you always go back to that website and you'll find that there.
This might touch on a bit of consumer protection, if I may quickly, but... What if we find out somebody is charging GST and they're not registered to charge GST?
Right. Yeah. So that is a no-no, right?
No-no.
That is a no-no. You're not supposed to administer or charge the GST because you won't be able to get refunds. And if you're charging it and you're not registered, that means you're keeping that. You're not passing that back on to the government, which is the way it's supposed to be done.
Uh-huh.
So us as consumers, again, we expect you to notify the IRD of such actions.
Okay.
And as well, we are coming out to, you know, businesses from time to time to look into these sort of practices as well.
Okay.
We have plans to set up a hotline where persons could call in. But definitely in the event, our website, gst.gov.ai, that could be utilized anonymously to send in such reports to us, let us know. As well as the minister is very keen as well, to make sure that, you know, this tax is administered properly. So again, I admonish persons to be sure that they are looking out for that certificate,
yes.
Right? Because us as consumers, we are the ones who will be the watchdogs, so to speak, to know if, you know, persons are dealing with us in a fair manner as well going forward.
Right. So I have a bit of a scenario for you.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just say we get a new business registered in February of next year. They're not projected, so it's a new business. They don't have previous records to go on. They are not projected to meet that threshold.
Okay.
But somewhere along the line, they have a product. Someone comes to the island. Some celebrity comes to the island. You know, the product goes viral.
Oh.
You know, we're living in the age of everything going viral. You know, a product goes viral. They exceed that threshold.
Mm-hmm.
What is the process? Do they then have to go back and retroactively register for GST? How do they proceed with something like that?
Right. So pretty much Section 10.1 of the GST Act, right? It states that subject to that act, the GST Act, every person who carries on a taxable activity and is not registered, right, they are required to apply for registration within 15 days of meeting that threshold. That product went viral. From that point now, they realize, okay, I'm going to cross that 300,000 EC mark.
Yeah.
15 days of having this knowledge, that knowledge to them, they should come out, come to the IRD, and get registered. So that way now they could administer GST going forward.
This then speaks to quite a bit of voluntary compliance then.
Okay.
And the system, the integrity of the system has to do with the consumer as well as the
business,
the proprietors and the businesses and stuff. So it's on us to make sure that this system works.
Correct. And that's how we look at this, yes. You touch on the word, voluntary compliance. So as much as persons are making it seem like the GST is a draconian piece of act, it's far from it.
Right.
This is strictly the business coming along with us as partners in the administration of this GST and administering it in a proper manner. And, you know, we've had these relationships with these businesses, so it's nothing brand new, just that there's a new tax now that is being introduced. So, of course, there are little dynamics we have to work out here and there. And in the act, the minister automatically as well, too, put it in place where he gave me a year to be lenient, okay, so to speak, right? And that leniency is not for persons to just take advantage of it either,
right?
Because we will be vigilant on that. But however, for us not to come hard right away, mm-hmm, as you know, a tax administration to just put penalties and fines and go after them. Mm-hmm. We expect their learning curve, so we will work with them and walk, mm-hmm, through those learning curves as well.
Right. So another common thing that's coming in, and what we are hearing from persons, let's just say we have a business that is focused on the export of something like high-end arts, craft. We have a number of businesses here that do really good, really great work, and you know, they market a lot towards tourists. Mm-hmm. Is GST going to be charged on items that are for sale for export? How does that work for both the tourists? How does that work for that business? Mm-hmm. How do we get around that? How do we apply that?
Right. So normally, as it is in the GST Act, exports are zero rated. So okay, meaning there's no GST charge on exported items. And the ministers were keen on this, again, because they're trying to encourage our small manufacturing industries, etc., right, mm-hmm, to try to branch out, think a little bit beyond our borders, mm-hmm, to get out there. So to help in that vein, they want to help them to be able to export out their products at a, you know, zero to no cost. So that is zero rated. Now, the example you asked about in reference to the tourists. Now, the tourists, of course, like all of us, right, they will pay the GST, okay, right? So you go to an arts gallery, you purchase a piece of art, you will pay GST on that art. However, if the GST paid by that tourist in their course of being on island exceeds 1,000 EC dollars of GST paid, mm-hmm, then they could put in for a refund to get that GST back. So there will be a form for them to go through the process to apply to get that GST back. And this is, again, because they are taking the products off the island, they're exporting it out.
Okay.
But right there and then at the store, no, they wouldn't just exempt them at the point. They do just like us consumers, because, again, the tourists for this tax, remember, it's everyone who's consuming, mm-hmm, right? So even the tourists who are coming are helping to increasing the numbers, not just the locals,
right,
that, yeah, are doing the purchasing to help to meet the numbers that we have set for the GST to meet that number.
Okay. So on the most basic level, is this why we refer to it as broad-based? Because I never looked at that scenario, yeah, before. You know, it seems like, okay, yeah, the net is a lot wider, right, than we thought. Yes. Because when you, yes, think about the GST, you've heard a lot of accommodation tax, but I didn't realize, you know, actually, Ivan, it's on purchases like these. To somebody goes down to Devnish Art Gallery, buy a nice piece of art.
Yeah. Correct.
Okay.
Right. In a way, similarly to us when we go to the U.S.
Right.
If we
sales tax.
Right. We sales tax, but if you have a means of, say, you're going to make a large purchase, let's say at Home Depot or something to that effect, mm-hmm, and you want to avoid the tax that would come with it, mm-hmm, right? You may have some tax ID number for Angola to let them show that you're moving this product out of America, okay, and then they are able to give you that item at a tax-free. So it's a similar process, right? So again, once it's the 1,000 EC dollars of GST that they would have incurred, they're able to claim that back.
And just mm-hmm, a little bit for clarity. This is 1,000 EC dollars on products that they are taking outside of Anguilla. This is, would not be considering anything that's consumed on island. So
good.
Their accommodation, their services, it has to be products that are leaving.
Good, correctly. Okay. Correct. Thanks. Okay. And thanks for bringing that up. Yes. Because, right, we wouldn't want them to be doing grocery shopping and then trying to put back in for the GST from that grocery shopping, right? Mm-hmm. So, yes. Yeah, so, products that they such as the art, and different memorabilia they may purchase along the way that they may want to buy in abundance of, and then also get that GST back. So, good. Thanks for that follow-up.
Okay, and I mean, this is the bit of problem. When we start talking, all sorts of things does come around.
All right, yes.
All right, so I've never really understood how duty-free works when you purchase things at an airport. Is that a similar case?
It is different, yeah. Because normally it would be either at the airport, at the seaport, and then the items in there automatically will not have the GST at all.
Does that apply to Anguilla now, that there are duty-free items at the airports?
No, they don't have it, but that will be something in the future coming along. So, you know, similarly, the alcohol and the different products, as long as they're in that duty-free zone.
On the departure side of
things. Right. And then it's all going out. You purchase those items, you have to show that you have a plane ticket to say that you're leaving the island with those products.
That's actually good. I think, if I recall correctly, there's a similar setup in Barbados, where if you are shopping, you have to show them either that you're on the cruise, or you have to show them your passport to show them that you are leaving. If I remember correctly, it's been a little while.
That's correct.
So, you know, just moving along, and one of the things that in my research of the GST bill, we note that there are some zero rated items.
Correct.
How will consumers know what exactly fall under those zero-rated items? Will there be a list published? Where will that list be published if there is one?
Yes. A comprehensive list of the zero-rated and as well as the exempt items will be published. And they will be published once passed in the House by the minister. It's safe for me to say right now they would have had discussion around that list at executive level. But again, we have to wait for it to go to the House before I'm given okay to publish that list.
Okay.
But once that goes to the House, yes, it will be gazetted. All right, so a person will be able to find that in the Gazette.
Mm.
As well as IRD will publish that list on our website as well, and in other government media as well, and the newspaper, etc. Because we want to make sure, again, because this is the first time, we want consumers as well as the stores to understand what this list consists of.
Right.
Because they too have to get their systems ready and in place to put those items in to make sure that they are being treated the right way, zero rated and exempted as they stand.
So, July 1st, June, May. We're at the end of April now.
Yes,
April is done. Yes, so that list should be forthcoming pretty soon.
Yes, and I take it that the minister will be taking this to the House within this week, upcoming week.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that'll
be a passage just now, and then that list will be available.
I must say though that in jumping ahead, there's a lot of information out there on IRD's website.
That's correct.
About GST. So that's something that people have to know, that they can find supplement to what we're saying.
Correct.
We're saying here at the website.
And you can remind us of that website again, just so that in case someone missed it at the beginning.
Yeah, so we always encourage persons to, you know, at least use IRD.gov.ai as your first or your check for information that you may hear out there.
Okay.
Because we know a lot of information is out there, persons are saying this and saying that.
Right.
Go to IRD.gov.ai. We have guides. We have frequently asked questions.
Right.
And, you know, if you don't see something that you are questioned about, we're only a phone call away or email away. Stop by the office, and we are ready to assist in any means in that manner.
Awesome. So just looking ahead and kind of going back again to some of those zero-rated items, one of the things that you hear quite often, and I know this was said previously when you had some concessions that were given, I note that I would have seen a bulletin that there's some concessions given.
Yes.
One of the things that persons are concerned about, what process is in place to ensure that those zero-rated items, the savings from those zero-rated and exempted items, are passed on to the consumer?
Yes.
Is there anything in place? Can you speak to that?
Yes. The Minister of Finance is very keen on ensuring, because again, we spend a lot of time to come up with this zero-rated list and exempt items. So again, it's very keen on ensuring that the savings from these items are passed on to the consumers.
Right.
So to that vein, they plan on enacting some consumer protection legislation to address that, to make sure that there's a team, I think it's coming from the economic development side, that we put together to, you know, and ensure that these items are not being abused. Likewise, IRD, it's also our job as compliance and audit, to ensure that these are not being abused as well. So from those two angles, mm-hmm. we believe that we have a better grasp on making sure that, you know, persons are treating these items in a manner that they should be.
So let me double back a little bit, because mm-hmm. I've had instances
mm-hmm.
where I have gone into a certain establishment mm-hmm. and, you know, you walk up to the counter, and all of a sudden, they know the price.
Mm-hmm.
There's no price on this, but they know the price. How is it possible?
That is a real, real thing, Ivan. There are a number of entities where the price is not displayed. Will the GST Act speak to that? Is there something else that's going to speak to ensuring that prices are displayed and that the price that you see displayed matches the price that you're going to pay when you get to the register?
Yeah, because is it in the US, like, if you go to the register and the price scanned is different to what
they give you the price on the shelf?
They give you the price on the shelf.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, like, you can argue that, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Because that's what it's like.
They advertise it that way.
But a number of businesses don't have their prices.
Right. No, we understand. Come July the 1st, because it's a short transition, moving from June to July, to then get all the prices on the shelves change.
Right.
So we know maybe in the first month, that may be a little being walked through.
Okay.
Because, you know, it's going to take a while for, let's say, a big supermarket to shut down and do a whole pricing. But however, that doesn't mean it's an excuse to say that they're not supposed to. The GST Act specifically states that the prices must be prominently displayed, inclusive of the GST on it as well. So that bottle of water, when you see the price on the shelf, the total price is inclusive of the GST. Then when you get back to the register now, you check that price out on the receipt as well. It will show the cost and then the breakout of the GST on that item. So that way you're able to see exactly. And then, you know, there's no questions asked again, because you don't know what the price is on the store. It's showing one on the shelf because it's showing one price and or no price at all.
Yeah.
And right, and then you have to, because sometimes what I do, I might grab three or four of the items, take them up just to get the person there to scan it and let me know, hey, what's the price? So that way I could choose based on my pocket, the one that I can afford.
Right.
I might grab one and then we'll get there and get a surprise and realize that, oh, you left one that, you know, because again, we are checking prices.
Right.
And again, we stress for persons to also do a shopping around, you know, make sure you shop around, understand how the prices are in different places. Because the consumers who are driving this, right?
Yeah,
we are driving this.
And again, you know, we spoke about this previous episode, but we know with inflation, our dollars aren't dollaring anymore. And we have to get bang for buck.
Yeah.
And so shopping around is important.
It is important.
Ivan, our time is quickly winding down, but we have some important topics that we really need to get to. Mm-hmm. So we're going to just try and get through these. So GST will repeal a number of taxes.
Mm-hmm.
First, can you tell us what those taxes are, just so that everyone is aware? And then can you speak to the compliance rate of those taxes currently? Because I think that's important.
Yeah, so there's five of them. Accommodation tax, environmental levy,
mm-hmm.
and the interim goods tax,
mm-hmm.
as well as IGT,
mm-hmm.
and the one that we charge on our mobile.
Communication.
Right. Mm-hmm. You're right. That one almost slipped me. Yes. So those are the five that will be repealed once GST come into play. Now, accommodation tax, we have been doing good because we've added a lot more, ramp up our complaints in that area. So for that one, we are right now up to about 80%. We brought it up tremendously. And you'll notice that from hearing the numbers out there, too, that, you know, you've heard we have high revenues and accommodation tax of late. And that's definitely due to our compliance that we are putting out there.
I'm watching the clock. I'm watching the clock, but that 20%, like, what can that possibly equate to a dollar figure for us if we get a little bit more compliance, if we get up to 90%?
Also additional 10%.
Well, yes. We pass our projections, so that's bringing in a surplus. So definitely we get to 100%. We're doing pretty well off.
And would this be like the smaller properties, Airbnbs, that type of stuff that we see?
Right. Yeah, you might see a little bit more non-compliance from a few of some of the smaller properties. Some of the larger ones too here and there. But like I said, we have put our presence a little bit more out there now. Uh-huh. So we notice the compliance has shifted and they've been a little bit more compliant. And they understand the need for that compliance. Uh-huh. And the filings and everything else is coming in untimely as well. Okay. That has been the problem as well. Just late.
I asked this though because this beautiful lady next to me, she is strict on this stuff. Doing what you're supposed to do.
We are.
So can you go after GST that wasn't accommodation tax that wasn't thing after GST?
Definitely, yes, okay. Definitely. Okay. So we are still able to collect our accommodation tax. Even once the GST rolls in accommodation tax, we have 3 years back that we could make sure.
Oh, yeah,
hey,
that's
so good. Yeah, so we're going to make sure that, you know, all that is accounted for before the GST is rolled out to make sure that we hit
Okay, that's
numbers.
Good. I got my answer.
and that's good to know. So, just so that we are clear, you're saying we are about 80%
accommodation tax.
What about the others?
Yeah, the environmental levy, that's 100%. The reason is, again, because the environmental levy is paid on your bill at Anglic. Okay. So, once you pay a bill, then that environmental levy is being collected. Similarly, for the communication tax,
right.
Digicel flow, etc. The customer, once that customer pays that bill, then that is collected right off the bat.
Okay.
Now, one of the troublesome ones that we've had is the public entertainment tax. Complaints on that one was almost non-existent. Just shame to say, but yes, that was the case. 2015 would have probably been one of the last only payments received in that tax. Right. Again,
this would cover things like just
shows
that
and you know. So right, the reason the two behind of it, impossible to put on certain shows if they're in collaboration with government, perhaps they would, you know, rightfully so, ask for an exemption from the tax.
Okay.
Right. The football, if I have ticket sales again because it's a social event, they too may, you know, put in for exemption. So I think the exemptions is what kind of hamper that. But however, going forward, the GST, because again, they're able to do the claims back for the GST.
Uh-huh.
So paying the GST, us now, as consumers, again, we're going to those shows. On the ticket sales, we will be paying on those tickets going forward.
Right.
So come July, during our carnival season, we will probably notice now a little increase of that 13% showing up on our tickets for the different events. That we would be going to.
But it's the consumer that's going to be paying that, not necessarily the promoter.
That's correct. So GST is not a tax on the business. So it's never a tax on the business. It's a consumption tax. It's charged to the consumer.
So I can expect that my O'Leary, my eyes wide shut ticket is going to pass.
Don't
come after me, O'Leary. I'm coming to eyes wide shut.
Yeah.
And I'll pay my additional 13%.
You have to pay yourself. We've been locked down for a little while.
Everybody needs freedom. So you spoke a little bit, and I think we're going to wrap up just with this one. You spoke a little bit about, you know, ramping up your compliance, needing that additional. How does that carry over to your staff? You know, what is the current staff complement? Is it enough? Do you need more? Where do we go from here with that?
Well, staff, you know, people are always going to say, oh, government bringing in a tax to bring on bigger, make government bigger, add on more staff, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, right?
Mm-hmm.
But my feeling is you could never really have enough staff.
Right.
No, in all honesty, IRD has been operating
bare bones.
29 staff. And we administer, we're responsible for 10 unique taxes.
I thought, you know, be honest, I thought it was more than that. But now that he said, I like scan quickly and I'm going through, I seen the same people.
Yeah, exactly. Right. And those persons are stretched in different areas too, because we have to utilize them based on what we have. But you may think the treasurer staff is part of our staff too. But
that's exactly, they're not.
Right. They're not. Right.
Wow.
So that's 29. However, we have a few positions. These some positions too are not regularized as well. So we would have had it on our budget to fill certain positions, but it would never fill.
Okay.
So I would have gone through and sit with public administration to go over our whole organizational chart to get us properly set up for the administration of the IRD as we reform our taxes going forward. So not just a GST thing. This is not about GST.
Right.
It's about the IRD, how it was structured all along, needing to really come up And even this little bit of coming up that I'm speaking about is not truly really putting us to a point of the compliment that we should have based on, I mentioned, those taxes that we administer. But nonetheless, we're going to do our best with what we're getting. So I have been given the authority by the deputy governor. The total complement going forward, I'll be introducing 12 positions to complete. Again, those will kind of happen from within first, and then others will be advertised at higher levels where you cannot fill it there.
You said something, and I know we are literally out of time, but you said something, I want to make sure that I caught it correctly. Mm-hmm. You said that this was already budgeted for.
That's correct. Yeah, so it's not something new now that we're going out there to inflate our budget on. Exactly. Okay.
That's
right?
That's
so,
important.
Yeah, so that is already budgeted for us, so I'm not, you know, inflating my budget in no way. Just getting the actual bodies in place. But along with the bodies, we have technology.
Right.
So we're going to utilize our technology a lot more because we're now taking a new approach. The IRD is going at risk-based assessments. So that's the way we're going to do it. So it's not always about persons showing up and out there. You know, we could sit at the office and do a lot of this, the work from the office and, do some risk analysis, identify who's probably going to fall out of compliance, you know, try to reach out to them early enough to address that. So we at IRD, we continue to search for and implement new ways going forward for us to bring greater value to our customers. And who are our customers? All of us here, right? The citizens of Anguilla.
Exactly.
And that's who it's all about, and that's our approach going forward.
Okay. Awesome. This has been enlightening. This has been excellent, informative. Thank you so much, Lonnie, for
being here. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for just educating us a little bit more on this whole GST implementation and what we can expect.
I definitely hope that we can have you back at some point, another component of your staff at IRD, because this is conversation that people need to hear. Yes. And while I'm on that, I want to thank the folks for the positive comments, the excellent feedback, the constructive criticism thus far of the program. We are a work in progress. I am a work in progress daily.
You
would have no idea how much when Eva just keeps me in check. She's like, okay, Ivan. That happens behind the scenes. Maybe we might publish some of the behind the scenes. The preparation stuff. No. Come on, Ivan. I think this is needed. That's what I keep hearing. I am happy that persons are appreciative of it. Yes. We just want to bring it unfiltered. We want to bring it unbridled. We want to give government, not just the ministers, department heads, the PSs, persons affiliated that are doing anything with government for the people, doing anything for the people. So we can see the youth parliament on their show and those type of things, you know, because we want to have that conversation.
Yeah.
I think that's what has been missing. I'm happy that we have this forum. So thank you for having that conversation.
No, thank you. Thank you for having me. Because, again, information is power. So the progress report, I mean, thank you. You're doing a good job at what you're doing as well, getting the information out to the people. Because, again, once you inform people, they're empowered.
Yeah. Right.
So thanks for that empowerment as well.
All right.
And on the topic as well, yes, I'll have IRD staff to follow up. Because we're doing our registration drive.
Okay.
So we'll, you know, bring them out to sit with you as well to
we should do that
give
next.
You an update on how that's going.
She gave me a look already.
When you got that, But we will definitely have you back before July 1st, before the rollout. Ivan is really trying to take me to overdrive. But this has been an excellent episode of Progress Report. We thank you for being here. We thank you for listening.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
All right.
Yes.
All right.